Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to the kitchen table. So it's a post-rally Finland kitchen table, and what do we want to talk about in this one? Well, clearly we want to talk about Rally Finland itself and the result in Rally Finland, but we also want to talk about perhaps what Rally Finland told us about the coming five rallies that we've got left in the season, because I think Rally Finland told us an awful lot, and I also think that Rally Finland gave us a few pointers as to maybe what we might expect next season as well. So, listen, start off by saying, once again, it was a magnificent rally. It really was one of the best I think we've seen in quite some time. Okay, that battle for the lead didn't extend really into the final day, although, you know, Tanak was always within a spin, a stall, an overshoot of potentially putting himself right back into that fight. We'll come to Tanak in a bit, because he never looked like he was going to do any of those things, did he? Because he was so in control. But as I say, you know, the fact that we got to, what, Saturday morning, a couple of stages in on Saturday morning, and the three Toyotas were in just a second or two of each other. I think we had 80 kilometers of the rally done at one point, and we had three cars more or less on the same time. It was quite remarkable. It really was, and it was a joy to watch. And what was a real joy was that it wasn't absolute, complete Toyota domination. You know, we expected the Toyotas to go well there. Popola, where they're based, is only about 15 kilometers north of Jyväskylä. They've done an incredible amount of testing on the roads around Jyväskylä. They know how to set the car up perfectly for every possible situation. Now, last year in Jyväskylä, what did we have? Well, we had a heat wave, and it was bakingly hot. It was uncomfortably hot, but the Toyotas worked well because they'd already tested more or less in those conditions. They had the data necessary to set the car up for the best conditions. Now, this year, it was the absolute opposite. Do you know what? On Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, 9 degrees we had at the end of the stage that we were standing at. It was jolly chilly, really cold. Now, again, Toyota will have tested, I'm absolutely certain, in those conditions, and they had the benefit of being able to set their car up to suit the conditions, and they were always going to be favourites. And at one point it did look, didn't it, as if it was a Toyota 1-2-3. Again, we'll come on to that in a little while. But what I liked was Esa-Pekka Lappi's response to the Toyotas. The fact that he said, when asked, what have you got to do? Very simply, beat them. Well, that was always going to be difficult. You could beat for sure Chris Meek. He could beat for sure Jari-Matti Latvala. I don't think he was ever going to beat Oit Tanak. Tanak is a level above everyone. But what I found really encouraging was the response from Lappi. Lappi was a man on the edge. Lappi was a man who I think was under an enormous amount of pressure to perform. If he had failed to perform on a rally he's won, on his home rally, then I think it could easily have been curtains for Lappi at Citroën. But what he has shown is that given a car underneath him that he feels comfortable with, rallies that he knows, he can be right up there still. And it does seem to just be a bedding in period at Citroën for Esa-Pekka Lappi. He had a woeful final 6 or 8 months at Toyota. Things rapidly went downhill there. And he's had a very challenging first 6 months at Citroën. But let's keep our fingers crossed that Finland was a turning point for Esa-Pekka Lappi in his relationship with that Citroën C3. He was a joy. He's got this real attitude when he's driving well, and he throws caution to the wind, and he drives with a style which is just magnificent to watch, and it doesn't really faze him. He's up on two wheels, he's using every piece of the road, he's flat out, he's on the edge, and he relishes driving on the edge. He relishes knowing that the car will do what he wants it to do, and that is exactly where Lappi was in Finland, with a car that he trusted and a car that, could just about match the Toyotas, bar Tanak. Because Tanak as I've said, is a level above. And we will come to Tanak because his performance was incredible. For me, and I write about this in tomorrow's, if you're watching this on Tuesday, Wednesday, shall we say, I write about it in Wednesday's Motorsport News. There were a number of winners from Rally Finland this year. There really were. Tanak clearly being one, the obvious one. But for me, Lappi was another winner. If we talk about other winners, let's then talk about Andreas Mikkelsen. Listen, I've been very critical of Mikkelsen, but Mikkelsen has deserved the criticism that's come his way. He's been frustrating, because we all like him. We all know that he has the ability to drive quickly and to compete, but we rarely see it. Rarely see it. But we were offered a glimpse of the best of Mikkelsen. We weren't just offered a glimpse, we saw it. The best of Mikkelsen on Sunday in Sardinia, where he had to battle with, if you remember, for ultimately what was a podium place, he had to battle with Elvin Evans. And even although halfway through the morning on Sunday, with very limited kilometres left, he found out he had to find another 10 seconds because Evans was given back 10 seconds for something that had happened, I think, on the Friday. He still went about it, and he still battled, and he still won. That was magnificent. And that was a real, real throwback to the Mikkelsen that we know is within that car. And then we come to Finland, a rally that clearly is not his favourite, far from his favourite rally in the calendar. Again, still under pressure, huge pressure, because Mr. Adamo has shown he's not afraid to switch his team about, to bring new drivers in, to put old drivers out just to sit and watch for a rally or two. So the pressure clearly is there to perform. And it looks to me as if Mikkelsen perhaps is a man for those pressure situations. He has reacted remarkably positively to Mr. Adamo's whip. And it is a whip, you know. Come on, boy, get yourself into line. You will perform for us or you'll be out. We saw Argentina. Okay, different sort of rally in Argentina. He stuck to the tax, didn't show any pace, didn't show any fighting spirit, but then he didn't have to. But what he delivered was a podium. It went backwards in Chile, a disaster. The worst of Mikkelsen in Chile. It was horrible to watch. Sardinia, fantastic. Sunday, I think, though, in Finland, surpassed just about anything that Mikkelsen has done, and including that, his three victories. Because he went into Sunday morning fighting with Ogier, and Ogier was back on form, and Ogier clearly had a car that was capable of winning stages, because, okay, Ogier didn't win any stages, but Lappi was out there setting incredible times. And Mikkelsen was in a car that had big doubts over it, in terms of its Finland performance. And my goodness me, once again, he got his head down, he got his right foot planted to the floor, and he went for it. And he kept Sebastian Ogier behind him through four really challenging stages. The car stalled, remember, on the first stage of the morning for him. He didn't let that faze him. He lost a second and a half, 1.7 seconds, I think it was. Didn't faze him, refocused on what he had to do, and he did a magnificent job. Is it a turning point? Now, I've declared turning points for drivers in the past that have been way too premature. You know, you very rarely see a complete about turn in drivers' performances. It's more often than not just a gradual turn, a gradual turn, a gradual turn. And that is what we're seeing with Mikkelsen. We saw really the start of it, as I said, in Argentina. And yes, with that small, you know, obviously that small setback in Chile. But you take that out, you look at the graph, and he's going in the right direction. And he's going in the right direction by putting in some really strong fighting performances. And this is where it's different. These are battling fighting performances. And what's happened in the past when Mikkelsen has had to up his pace to fight, invariably he's made mistakes. And it hasn't worked for him, but it is working for him now. And I think everyone's chuffed to see that, in particular Mr. Adamo, because Mr. Adamo will say, you know, that's what happens when these boys know exactly what's at stake. That's what happens when you make it clear to them what they have to do for the team. They listen, they respond, they deliver. And Mikkelsen, make no mistake, is delivering. He really is. And, you know, I'm the first to say I'm concerned about his driving. And I want to be right up there and shouting about it when he does deliver. And no question, he delivered. And do you know what? That performance, I think, will give, if he continues with those performances to the end of the year, will give Mr. Adamo a real headache in terms of what he does next year. Because remember, there are a lot of contracts up for grabs next year. And at one point, it looked to me as if Mikkelsen would really, really, really struggle to get a contract from Hyundai next year. Well, he's doing his best to say, hang on a minute, I can do a job. I can do a job, and I am worthy of consideration. And more than that, I am absolutely worthy of a contract for 2020. Great job, great job. So he's another winner. So I said there are a number of winners from Finland. Before he talked about Lappi, we've talked about Mikkelsen. Who else came out smelling of roses and effectively for me was a winner? Well, it had to be Craig Breen. He was an utter joy to watch. And, you know, he wears his heart on his sleeve. He's a very emotional young man. He gives an awful lot back to the sport. And my goodness me, I know stage end comments aren't everything, but, you know, we want to see characters in this sport. And Breen is an enormous character. But more than that, he's an incredibly capable driver. And he proved it. He proved it. You know, we've heard some drivers a year and a half into their contracts with new teams going, well, I'm still getting used to the car. You know, it's very different from anything I've driven in the past. My driving style doesn't suit it. I'm having to adapt my driving style. A year, 12 rallies, 14 rallies, 16 rallies in, and they're still plodding out the same excuses. Breen gets straight into that car, and on Friday was mixing it with the Toyotas, was the best of the Hyundais until more or less halfway through the rally. And we have to remember that it's 8 months since he drove competitively in a world rally car. And it was a magnificent performance. Not only did he drive well, he put himself in a position where at the end of the rally, he could then benefit his team leader. He dropped back so that obviously Thierry Neuville could score extra driver's points. It couldn't really have gone an awful lot better for him. Yes, if he'd got ahead of Ogier, he wouldn't have had to have dropped those points, but that just wasn't, unfortunately, on the cards on Sunday morning. But Breen, for me, has propelled himself potentially to the top of the list in terms of seats for perhaps the remainder of this year and certainly next year. We know, before we go on to talk about Tanak, and we will talk about Tanak, don't you worry, but let's talk a little bit about seats, because obviously there are two drivers who are out, and three drivers are out and looking to get back in, established drivers. We've obviously got Craig Breen. We've got poor old Hayden Paddon, who is back in New Zealand now, although I don't think for very long. I think we will be seeing him back in Europe very soon indeed. And we've got Mads Osberg, three drivers who we'll all be looking at some sort of programme for next year. Well, for me, the man who's put himself right at the top of the list is Breen. I've said it many times, I don't think we've seen the best of Breen yet. What you get with Breen, and I know a lot of people are going to accuse me of being a fanboy, fair enough, put my hands up. You know, I've been a big fan of Breen's for a decade now, since he first appeared in the Junior Championship in Ireland. In that little Fiesta, you know, and I have a lot of time for him, but I'm not completely blinded by my fanboy status, and I think what I'm seeing is logical and makes sense. He is a safe pair of hands, and more than that, he's a safe pair of hands who will continue to develop, who will do a job for you. The pressure on him in Finland was enormous. The highest speed rally of the year, the one that requires the most commitment, the one that requires the most accuracy in terms of your driving, the one that requires your fullest attention and concentration, the one that requires you to be at the peak of your fitness. And he jumped in and he delivered on all of those scores, and he delivered wonderfully. And as I say, I think that he's put himself to the top of the list. I think there will be seats next year. You know, because much as we're talking about there were winners in Finland, there were obvious losers as well who are still under pressure in terms of securing seats for next year. I think a lot of it will depend on Tanak and where Tanak goes. I think potentially there are two or three seats available next year, and we will see some swapping around. We'll see Breen before the end of the year because he's a man in demand. We will see him before the end of the year. I think we'll see him a couple of times, maybe three times even, before the end of the year. I fully suspect we will see Paddon before the end of the year, and make no mistake, he has to perform, and if he performs the way that Breen did in Finland, then Paddon also very much puts himself in the picture for a seat for 2020. It's going to be interesting, you know. We're still talking winners, by the way. I'm getting slightly sidetracked by who's going where, what might happen later in the year. Let's talk winners still. Rally Finland. Rally Finland itself, a massive winner. It delivers every year. The organisation, the team led by Kai Tarkiainen, is without any question world class. World class in terms of delivering sporting events. And Rally Finland is a world class sporting event. It is just delivered in the most exceptional way every year. A great route, wonderful organisation, a great service park that works. Everything works at Rally Finland, and you go to Jyväskylä, you go to Finland when the rally's on, and you know the World Rally Championship is in town. It is the rally that sets the standards that everyone else aspires to. And you know what? They don't rest on their laurels. They keep pushing that bar, that level, higher and higher and higher every year. So many congratulations to you boys. You've done another magnificent job. By the way, I'm hearing Rally Finland, some rumours in the Finnish press that Rally Finland may be moving back a few weeks next year, taking it into the second half, perhaps towards the end of August. Apparently something to do with some clash with the Olympics. That would be interesting. You know, it's always been that last few days of July, first few days of August for the past 10, 15 years, more than that maybe, I don't know. So that would be interesting, but listen, whatever time of year they run Rally Finland, you know that they will deliver. It'll be a magnificent event. So let's get on to talking about Oyt Tänak. Tänak is just developing, or has developed, into the most remarkable driver. You know, he never really ran away with it, did he, in Finland? And he had to fight really hard, that road cleaning effect, all through Friday, first on the road. Obviously the first pass, you're dealing with the loose gravel. The second pass, you're dealing with some really quite messy ruts. A lot of cars in the field creating ruts that really cover the corners, more or less. You know, you don't have a clean line. And the first car on the road, the second car on the road, who was Ogier, wasn't it? You know, effectively on the second pass, re-cleaning the road. And he dealt very well with that. He kept himself in the hunt, and then he asserted himself on Saturday. And was very, very much in control then through Sunday. What impressed me is his demeanour and his ability. He never pushed it. He never pushed it. He wasn't pushing corners so much that he was going wide on the exit and hitting rocks. Never happened. Never happened. He wasn't ending up on two wheels because he was never at the margins of his ability or the car's ability. And that's frightening. That's frightening for all the others. He's now established the lead in the championship. We go to two events. We go to Germany and we go to Turkey, where he won both of those events last year. I said it at the start of the year that I thought, take out Monte Carlo, because Monte Carlo is clearly Seb Ogier's rally. But we then go to the remainder of the season, and unless, I said it as sometime in January, unless Tänak or Toyota had problems, Tänak potentially could win every single rally. And I can see that happening between now and the end of the year. The one big question mark remains over reliability, but we know how hard Toyota are working, and the issues that we've seen this season so far, I am absolutely certain, won't resurface. It doesn't mean there may not be other issues, small, niggling little issues that are potentially rally-ending issues, or issues that will drop you back down the list. If we don't see any of those, Tänak will be difficult to beat, because he's setting a level, as we saw on Saturday, he's setting a level that is so high and he's so comfortable with, that the other's comfortable high level is somewhere near there. And to get, which is not far away, but to get to there, to match Tanak's level, they're taking risks. To beat Tänak, the risks that are risks too far. And as we saw with both of his teammates in Finland, you know, those risks were incredibly costly. Tänak is in an amazing place right now. He is very much now, I think I can safely say this, my favourite to win the championship. A lot of people's favourite to win the championship. You know, we are expecting some upgrades, aerodynamic upgrades from the Citroën. That'll help. We're expecting further upgrades from the Hyundai that will help, obviously, Thierry Neuville. But Tanak just looks so comfortable in that car, not having to take risks, not having to push beyond his or the car's limits, and winning with a degree of ease and comfort that is frightening for his opponents. He's exceptional. He's exceptional, and he is setting the standard for all the other drivers to chase. It's Loeb-esque. Loeb did that magnificently. He made the others chase, more or less from the start of every rally, and they would fall by the wayside. Boom, boom, boom. Because his comfortable level was way above anyone else's comfortable level. And his comfortable level for many years, Sebastian Loeb, was a level that others had to take risks to match. And that is why he was just such a supreme champion. Tanak is beginning to look similar in terms of his ability to drive at a comfortable pace that is quite breathtaking and requires the others to push too hard to catch him. It is incredible. It's going to be a fascinating last five rallies, but I think very much Tanak is now in the box seat. What will that mean in terms of next year? Well, let's wait and see, you know, for sure. Listen, you know, Marco Martin was around the service park. He was in speaking with Hyundai, that is for sure. There was a very public meeting with Marco Martin, Alain Panas, and Andrea Adamo. What they were talking about, I don't know. They might have been talking about Rally Estonia. I don't know. But we hear that Hyundai are prepared to not quite break the bank, but they are certainly prepared to make a considerable offer to Oik Tanak. We're also hearing that M Sport are prepared to make a considerable effort to reacquire the services of Tanak. It'll be very interesting. And where Tanak goes then, as I said earlier, will dictate, I think, an awful lot of what happens around the service park. I tell you what I'd like to see. You know, the third, again, a lot of talk, and I mentioned this before about Robin Perra. I think the stakes are too high to take a risk on rookie drivers in that third car. And I suspect, fully suspect, that we'll see at Toyota next year, whatever their main two drivers are, and that's still under debate. But I suspect that perhaps Robin Perra might be a fourth car. He might not actually take third car responsibilities until a few rallies into the season. What I would like to see, and no one else seems to be picking up on this, there doesn't seem to be a lot of, a lot of call for it around the service park, but I would still like to see that third car having some kind of age restriction on it, or some kind of experiential restriction on it, as in you can't have done more than 20 rallies in the WRC or something like that. Because as it stands, with the stakes being so high, with Toyota, with Hyundai, with Citroen all desperate to win the manufacturers, to give the chance to a youngster is just too risky. You know, for the first four seasons, rallies of the season, do you give that car to a Kalle Rovanperä, a young Solberg, or do you give it to a Mads Osberg, or do you give it to a Hayden Padden? Well, you know, if I'm the boy that's desperate to win the title and I'm the boss that wants to win the title, I know what I would do. I know what I would do. You know, there's too much at stake. There's way too much at stake. And I would really love to see, well, at least a bit of debate about perhaps making that third car, age qualifying, or as I say, experience qualifying. Because in that way, we will guarantee that the youngsters will at least get the opportunity. Now, many of them will fall by the wayside, but the youngsters are queuing up. You know, Solberg is there, Robin Perra is there. I met young Schwartz, Armin Schwartz's lad, a very impressive young 14-year-old indeed. You know, he's got himself an R2 Fiesta and he's off rallying. I think the plan is for Lithuania. You know, on top of that, you've clearly got a host of youngsters coming through the junior championship. There are youngsters doing great things in national championships that we can't ignore. But you do wonder how teams are going to be able to take the risk of putting those youngsters in the third car. Anyway, that's a debate for another day. Really is a debate for another day. So, Rally Finland, great stuff. Do we want to talk a little more about Padden and Breen? Not for this one. There is, I think, as I've said, a real opportunity. But we'll wait to hear some more news from other quarters before we talk a little bit more about that. But I know for sure that there is potentially the chance for at least one of those drivers to do one or two more rallies this year. We'll wait and see. As I say, that's one for maybe next week. We'll see. Might be later on this week if any news breaks in the motorsport press. But listen, guys, again, thank you very much for listening to my post Rally Finland kitchen table. What have we got? I thought this was quite appropriate. This is my Oh Dear God mug. These are the Ari Vatanen paste notes across, you know, the top here, and Oh Dear God. Very appropriate, because Finland is an awful lot of Oh Dear Godding from us spectators as well as the drivers. Thanks, guys, for listening, for watching at the kitchen table. As always, Facebook, like us, and if you really have enjoyed it, share this video. That would be just magnificent. And then on YouTube, again, you have to like it on YouTube, please, if you have liked it. And subscribe to the channel, to my YouTube channel, if you haven't done so already. So Facebook, share and like. YouTube, subscribe and like. And I'm going to go and enjoy my cup of tea from my Oh Dear God mug. Thank you very much for watching from the kitchen table.